Hi everyone, this is Elaine. Welcome to Aging into Joy by Living from the Inside Out. Yesterday, I ventured into the White Place Canyon, a location where Georgia O'Keeffe did many of her paintings, and she and her artwork both inspire me even to this day. And I hope you have somebody you're inspired by, because it just raises our aspirations to be better and better and more creative and more curious. So today, the second day, I was not going into the canyon. I was going to hike up to the top of the mesa, overlooking the canyon and overlooking a wide spectrum of desert. And I was thinking about the insights from yesterday that taught me that I could not find contentment and happiness within myself if I kept looking to the outside world for it. That seems like a simple statement, and in a way it is, but it is really a difficult thing to shift into, looking into your interior world for your answers and not to the outside world, when we spent years of our life kind of being conditioned to being good, pleasing our parents, being good at school, pleasing our teacher, being good at church, pleasing our priest or pastor. And in a way, that's all the initiation that we encounter when we venture into the world as infants and grow into adults. On the other hand, it works perhaps for a while, but it doesn't work all through our lives, because at some point we need to say to ourselves, who am I? Why am I here? What do I need to fulfill my purpose for being here? What are my preferences? And how much do I care about taking good care of myself? So in the first half of my life, I was very insecure, and I was filled with actually a lot of self-doubt and shame. And it was hard for me to get past this, because every time I tried to release it and let it go, the self-doubt and shame, fear would come up for me. And fear was a natural outcome for how I was raised. There was no pretense and no need for pretense or blame. My parents were first generation. My grandparents immigrated from Poland, and both generations were survivors. And so I was born into the world of survivors. And so it was important for me to be a good child, to provide some productivity, if you will, to the family. You know, everybody had a role. Everybody was trying to earn money, trying to provide all the basic needs of a person's life, trying to teach values and beliefs. But there was a harshness to that world, and maybe some of you have experienced it. And this is not to blame them, but this is to understand them. At some point, we can no longer be a victim to our past. And you need to ask yourself if you are or if you're not. Regardless of the answer, you want to look at your life patterns on a daily basis and inquire whether they honor your truest self or not. This is the ultimate gift we can offer to ourselves, is to discover the truth of who we are and not be a victim to our past. It may have been a very difficult past for a variety of reasons, but there's no place for us to choose the victim role, because that's only going to keep us stuck. That is only going to keep us limited in our growth. And in the very first podcast, I talked about expanding our lives versus constricting. And if our past constricts our lives, then we really need to kind of break out of it. And so a question I ask myself on a pretty frequent basis is this working for me? Is this working for me? Whatever I'm doing right now, is it working for me? If I'm exceptionally dedicated to pleasing my boss, is this working for me? And maybe it is, but maybe it's not. And if it's not, then what are you going to do to incorporate yourself into the equation? It's really important for us to allow ourselves to make mistakes, plain and simple. I don't think we were intended to live on planet Earth and be perfect. Even when you're in the desert or in farmland or at the ocean, if you look around, you'll find things that are not perfect, but taken together, they are perfection. And that's sort of how we are in the wholeness of the earth, in the wholeness of our being. We are perfection, but it doesn't mean we're without flaws. And we get so focused on those flaws because we worry that we're displeasing somebody else or we're disappointing them. Well, the more you worry about displeasing someone else or disappointing them, you need to ask yourself, am I displeasing or disappointing myself? You have to be in that equation of caring about how you live your life and being your best self. And we can't do that conforming to the outside world, which will only take us so far. I often think about in the stages where I had to conform quite a bit, which was my 30s, we were living in a university town, and everything that we planned did not happen. So we had to adjust to serious change immediately. And it felt like we were standing under a waterfall trying to catch our breath, but there was no relief. You know, everything around us was informing us and we were reacting to it, many times thoughtlessly. I think we all have periods in our life that feel like that, look like that. And in those times, we try to get through them the best we can. But then there are many periods in our life that are smoother, quieter, easier to deal with. And, you know, the contrast of the seasons, the contrast of the elements, you know, the wind, the fire, the earth, the water, all of them have something to teach us. There's no perfect tree, yet each has its own beauty, along with unique oddities and quirks. And have you noticed the trees that have incredible quirks, how much we pay attention to them, how much we love them, or how did they get like that? They are perfectly imperfect, and so are we. If you have quirks and oddities about you, embrace them. Don't try to hide them. They're delightful. And you don't need the outside world to tell you that. You can tell yourself, these are my quirks and I embrace them. And that's very affirming. That's how we grow from the inside out, or one of the ways, anyhow. One of the questions for my second day up on the mesa, as I overlooked a cloud formation that looked like it was going to bring rain, if not a thunderstorm, it's interesting in the desert when you see that, sometimes it looks like it's coming right over you, and other times it does not. It stops sort of where it's at, lets all the rain out, all the water out, and stays in place and dissipates. So one of the things, as I'm looking at the rain in contrast to the dry desert, in contrast to the crystalline blue sky that was on my left or the east, and the dark rolling thunder clouds of the west, was this either or. Either it was clear blue sky or it was thunderous rolling clouds. And a lot of life presents that way to us as either or. And I want to encourage you to step into exploration of that, because it's possible that you'll find a third option. In other words, there could be some clouds in the sky, and they could just make up a cloudy day, and yet certain parts of the sky still could be crystalline blue. That third option is so important because it keeps us out of the victim place. It keeps us from disempowering ourselves, thinking we have no ability to influence anything. We always have choice, and choice is a powerful action. But when you get caught up in patterns, you know, let's say from your childhood and growing up years, you have to stop to say, is this working for me? Because it may not be. It may have helped you survive childhood, but it may not be helping you to thrive in adulthood. And the ultimate goal is to thrive. And you want to put that into your consciousness and make that an intention, because that's what a fulfilling life is about. It's not about mistakes. It's not about being imperfect. It's about living from the depth of your being, thriving, growing yourself, learning, accepting, loving, all the things that constitute who you are. One of the things, as I arranged my spiral up on the mesa top, that I thought about was how most of us are raised to be conforming. And that's why I said early in my podcast series that sometimes you have to be a nonconformist to really connect to yourself. You have to not just understand, but greet the idea that you are unique. You have your own individual identity and beingness. And you want to give yourself every opportunity to be your genuine self. And that's how you feed your human spirit. When my spirit is alive and well, I feel energy, I feel light, I'm lighthearted, I'm eager to be curious, versus when I'm feeling moody, heavy, burdened. And we all will have each of those periods in our lives, but it doesn't mean we have to get stuck in one of them. It's pretty hard to maintain a peak of happiness for any long period. And likewise, if we don't buy into it, it's pretty hard to maintain a depressed period in our lives unless we keep succumbing to the negativity of seeing life from half empty instead of half full. Life offers us duality almost all the time. We need to learn, as I mentioned before, to traverse the either-or challenges, and we can use our soul to do that. We are launched into a world that is ego-oriented, and our task seems to be to find our all-knowing soul voice and harmonize it with the ego voice when we're making life decisions. In a sense, it's probably likely that we are off course before we even inaugurate our personal odyssey, which makes me laugh right now. I mean, I have a lot of years under my belt, and at the time it seems so impossible or so much of a mountain to climb, and yet when I look back, life could be far more effortless if we were in acceptance and didn't try to stop change. Change is just a natural part of being human. We could dig in our heels and live in the same house for 70 years, be at the same job for 50 years. But even though we look back and we say it was the same job, the same house, things change in our lives anyhow. And so if you want a tip on how to move gracefully through all the periods of your life, is identify them as they are. Don't try to distort them. Don't try to avoid them. Embrace. Embrace the idea that you are able to manage on each and every day in a way that helps you to thrive. One of the things that I've practiced, and I mentioned this in my earlier podcast, for a long time is gratitude. In gratitude, I have learned, brings me joy. It's its first cousin. And I want you to know that a life of gratitude has helped me, at least, and I'm sure many of us, to traverse the challenges of life. And the reason it does is because in every situation, we can find something good. Even when it doesn't seem obvious, it doesn't seem obvious if you have a serious diagnosis and that there's something good about it, yet you notice that the people caring for you really are connected to your well-being, really are working to support you into healing. There's so many contrasts between the burden and the beauty of trying to move through and find healing. So we need to connect to beauty each and every day and find it every day someplace in our lives. For me, a lot of times it's about my flower garden. Other times it's about sitting on my tritune boat and just bobbing up and down, kind of being rocked by the lake. Simple things, not complex. The more complex we make everything, the more likely it's coming from our ego. And that causes duality in life. The ego is the origination of either or. The ego causes us to compare ourselves to others. The ego says we need more. It can get greedy, quite actually. But simplicity counters that ego drive if we only would embrace it and be comfortable with it. If we're launched into a world that is ego-oriented, and our task is to find our all-knowing soul voice, then we need to try to do that and harmonize it with our ego voice when we are making life decisions. In a sense, it is probably highly likely that it's going to take an effort to do that. But what allows us to do that is consciousness, living in the present moment. And if you haven't heard my previous podcast, that's what I talk about, how vital living in the present moment is. Ego wants control, and our soul is seeking freedom. How polarized is that? Control is not freedom, even though some of us think it can be. Life, if nothing else, is a paradox, which begins within us as the self, capital S-E-L-F, which we refer to ourselves as, and within the self dwells the ego and the soul. How we make peace and how we create harmony within us, those answers, that map is within each of us. The outside world is not going to take us there. It may provide a bridge, you know, that connects us to ourselves or connects us to the exterior world, but it is not the answer. It's simply a bridge. So I'm going to ask you before I close today a few questions, and I hope you found this helpful because it's really important to find harmony and peace in all the either-ors of our life and managing our past and our future in a way that prevents it from either one from being a thief to our present. It's so important to be in the present moment. So my first question is, can you tell when you're making a life decision for yourself whether your soul or ego is involved? Are they in alignment or are they opposed to each other? One way you can tell is recognizing the amount of fear and self-judgment you experience, because that would be coming from the ego. Anything that constricts us is mostly ego-based, and anything that expands us is more spirit or soul-based. Can you let go of your self-critical voice and replace it with curiosity and observation? That's when you get to know your whole self. As an observer, I can look at my self-doubt and not say I hate it. I hate that I am in doubt much of the time. I'm unsure. I simply look at it and say, there are moments I'm in self-doubt. I want to be aware of it so I can make the choices to get me through it in a healthy way. So our awareness is not to punish us. Our awareness is to give us choices to move through it in a way that produces growth on our part. And my last question is, what would you like to ask yourself? Is there any part of you that you haven't met yet? Is there anything you want to ask yourself to know more about yourself? Ask it from a place of curiosity, even if you don't know the answers. Start a journal recording and just start off with the statement, I would like to ask myself, and then just write for 15, 20 minutes without stopping and see what comes up. This is a practice you want to find joy in and not a practice that you need to fear. If fear comes up again, that's the constrictions emerging, and the only way you can move through them is to face them, to acknowledge them, and then expand into a view of you doing that where you're growing and growing and growing. So I hope this was helpful today. I very much enjoy your comments and your feedback. And I wish you a really beautiful day and a beautiful week. And I hope that it will be not too long before we get to share with each other again, and talk to you soon. Bye.